Hello? All right. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here with you guys. And my slides are coming up, I'm assuming. I'm so thankful that I can come and share what God has done in my life. And I pray that you guys would get a fresh revelation of his character. Is it possible to use my slides or my background? Just wondering. Sorry. All the font is white. So, okay, there we go. That would not be very good. Okay. My message I want to share today, it's called, If We Stayed, I Know We Wouldn't Survive. So let's have another word of prayer as I share. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for how you've led in my family's life and how you've led in my life. Lord, at this time, I just pray that you would hide me behind the cross and that your people would get a fresh revelation of your character. And I just pray that you would anoint my lips as I share what you've put on my heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here to guide us, to keep us focused, and to hear a message from heaven. Be with us today. We thank you, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So my testimony, part of it, starts in 1976, which is well before I was born. And it's monsoon season. Can you play? Can you press the play on the, or just press the speaker? It's monsoon season. You can lower the sound. Sorry. I just wanted a little impact. It's monsoon season. We're in northern Laos. And it's been 1 year since the fall of Saigon. So the Vietnam War has been going on and has just ended. But just because the war has ended doesn't mean that the war is over. So my parents are in a home in Laos, and it's this night that God has convicted on their heart that they need to escape. By that time, the communist regime has been poisoning and killing everybody, especially Hmong people, because we helped America. My dad was a medic during the war. Thanks. My dad was a medic during the war. And in his role, he was helping anybody that was injured. And so because he was associated by helping the Americans, he was one of the first targets that they wanted to kill. They wanted to kill anybody who had military experience, and especially those that helped Americans. So in the middle of the night, on the rainiest day, that's when they make their escape. This is not a picture of them because we don't have that. No one had a camera with them. But this is like a picture of an example of the party. There's kids, there's parents, there's nothing but the clothes on your back and your children that you go, that leaves. So there's this huge exodus of Hmong people leaving Laos so that they were not killed. They come to the Mekong River, which is the river that separates Laos from Thailand. And at this river, everybody gets on the boat. My dad hires a boatman to bring their party across to the other side where safety is in Thailand. And unfortunately, everybody gets on the first boat ride. And if you see boats, there's not that many people that could fit on them. So the boat starts to sink. There's about 20 people. My parents and my oldest brother, who's a boy at this time, they stay on the boat, but my grandpa, he volunteers to get off the boat. In order for the first boat ride to make it, people have to volunteer. And so the first boat ride makes it across safely. The people get off. It goes back to get the five people that decide that they would stay behind. My grandpa was one of them. On the second boat ride, there are soldiers who find them, and that boat never made it. So my grandpa didn't make it. This is not a picture of him, but this is a picture of my grandpa's brother. That's the best that I could have. So I just wanted to give you an example. But my story is not to discourage you. There is something positive about the story. My parents make it to the refugee camps of Thailand in 1976. And they become refugees for 2 years. Those are my parents. So my mom and dad. They look a lot older now, but that's when they first came to America. But my story, although it's very sad, and I think about that time of what my parents have been through, there was a message before this war happened. And it came to the Hmong villages of Laos. That red arrow is an example, is pointing to where my parents lived. Before the war, a message is given. So I'm going to take you back a little farther. In 1953, in northern Laos, the first Adventist missionary pilot arrives. He comes to the villages of Laos, where my parents live. And he starts teaching them the Bible. He starts educating them. And through his efforts, my family, my grandpa, he's the patriarch at this time, my grandpa makes the decision to become an Adventist. In 1959, a 25-year-old accepts the call to become a foreign missionary. Can you play that?
This is film footage of Pastor Pong on there in the jungles of Laos. And let's see if we can roll that beautiful footage. Take us through what we're seeing here.
All right. What we see here is this man went hunting, and then he put his gun. When he picked it up, it went off and hit his shoulder there. The bullet went through the front side of his shoulder and then to the back, and asked me if I could help him. And here, going to their village, helping them with their medical needs. This man was bitten by a wild boar, and I was asked to help him, so I was suturing here in a primitive way. And I was asked to apply that 1 hour of dentistry, how to extract...
If you weren't awake yet, I hope you woke up. The purpose of me sharing this is to show you that yes, the war happened, but by God's grace, 2 decades before that war, a message is given to the people. Oops, next slide. I can't seem to do it. Next slide. Sorry. So, this missionary, he's 25. He comes to the Hmong villages and he starts preaching the gospel. He shares about Jesus. And the reason why my grandpa chooses to become an Adventist, because granted at this time, there was missionaries from every walk, every church. So I did ask my parents, why did you choose to become Adventist? And this is what they told me. It was the only church that... there was healing in the home once you converted, was the Adventist Church. If someone was dying in the home and they made a decision to become an Adventist, there was healing immediately. Now, with that healing, though, they had to give up every idol. They had to give up certain dietary requirements. There was a lot of lifestyle changes. It was a big shift. But there was also healing. And so my family, they decided to become an Adventist because the other churches, they preach that you can keep your idols, you can eat the way you want, you just have to come with us to church on Sunday. But with the Adventist church, it was a very radical but amazing shift. And God really blessed the missionaries. My parents were not literate, so they had to look at the missionary and see if they really loved the Lord. Did they really love the people? And did they practice what they preached? You know, this world is looking for the same people. Even though we have education, even though we are not in the jungles of Laos, people are still looking to man, unfortunately. But we are to be that example so that others would come. So I want you guys to say it with me. Before the war, a message is given. In 1978, my parents land in the Los Angeles airport, and they come to Santa Barbara, where this is a refugee bus, and many families were separated, including my family. I have uncles in Thailand. I have uncles in France. I have relatives in French Guiana. And, you know, when I think about how unfortunate life can be, because I've never really gotten to grow up with any of my cousins. But I'm looking forward to the day when we will be reunited. This is my family. I am the 7th of 8 children. There's 4 boys and 4 girls. And can you guess which one I am? Kind of gave you a hint already. Yeah, I'm the smallest girl with that purple, I don't know what I was wearing there, but that's who I am. I had the Dora haircut before Dora came out. And this is my family at the Santa Barbara Seventh-day Adventist Church. This church really, really, really loved us. We were the only refugee family, but I remember they would always give us the first place for potluck. I have not changed. I still like being first. No, it was a wonderful church that really took care of us. And I think we need more churches like that who really take care of the people in their community. If it wasn't for this church's love, they would take us to Pathfinders, homeless feeding. We went outreach all the time. There was choir. You know, those things are not things that I had or I could have without the church. This is another picture of me with my mom, a few of my brothers. This is a picture of my family again. So I grew up in the church. And for many of you, that might be true. Who was born and raised Seventh-day Adventist? Me too. But I went to public school all my life. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I went to college, a secular university. And with that, I also left the church. It was really hard to know God when all your friends were not Christian. And that's who I was around. I was very involved with student organizations, sports. This is a team with me. We played volleyball and we won. I was also, I took Asian American studies. And in that, I learned about the Vietnam War. And from that, I learned to appreciate Southeast Asians and our story a lot more. I got to learn more about the struggle of refugees that I did not know. This is not a topic we talked about in our home. My parents never talked about the war. That was just not something that was brought up. I knew they had been through trauma, but I had no idea. And so after taking that college course, my whole perspective on my identity and who we were and where we came from completely shifted. So I started getting involved with helping refugees. So becoming an advocate, someone who basically speaks for a group of people who may not have a voice. So an advocate, this is a group of Hmong women who are either they hold a political office, or they are principals, they have PhD titles, very well-educated women. And I was invited to be part of this network of women that were Hmong. So I was very much engaged in current Hmong issues, Southeast Asian issues. I don't know if you guys have heard of deportation. I don't know if that's in the Vietnamese community. I know it is in the Cambodian community. A lot of young people actually are getting deported, even though they were like raised in America. They're getting deported back to their home countries, which they had no idea about. And so these were all issues that was really important to me, and I started doing advocacy work for refugees. I lived in Washington, D.C. Granted, during this time, I am not going to church. Once I went to college, my engagement with the church also left. I was very engaged with young people that were also Asian Americans that cared a lot about politics. And, you know, a lot of people don't like politics, but I was not one of those. I really enjoyed the advocacy portion, how to read a bill and make sure that the language includes things like translation services and things that are important to refugees that would help us, especially with like doctor to patient communication. So those things are things that I really focused on while I was in D.C. So I lived, that's the White House. I lived in D.C. for a year. I loved D.C., still do. But God called me away from D.C., and he called me to a city called Loma Linda. And I was like, no, Lord, I do not want to be around Adventists. I'm going to have to change the way I dress. I'm going to have to change the way I think. You know, to me, it was a big sacrifice. But God revealed something to me in this process. So if you guys can turn with me to 1 John 2:1. I was very angry with God. I was like, Lord, I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing in Washington, D.C. I have a job. I'm a young person. I was doing what I thought was living a good life. For a young person, that means you have money, you have a job, and you could do whatever you want, okay? That was what I was doing. And in 1 John, sorry, still turning there. Advocacy work was everything that I cared about. I wanted to change the world, and to change the world to me was to go to Washington, D.C. But God, in his mercy, he brought me to Loma Linda, and there was a Bible verse that really stood out to me. Say amen if you're there. Okay. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. My whole life and world was around advocacy work for the community. But when I read this verse, it was like the Lord just revealed that he is my advocate. And I was like, wow. I know what that means now. I know what it means to be an advocate, but I've never put it in the perspective that Jesus wants to be my advocate. And then God revealed another thing. He said, Tara, advocate for me. Oh, that cut my heart. Because here I was, advocating for the community, doing what I thought in my own wisdom was the right thing to do. But now Jesus is flipping my whole perspective, telling me that to really advocate for a people group or refugees is to advocate for Jesus. And so that became a new new understanding for me. So I went to Loma Linda, and I was very new to the Adventist world. Even though I grew up in the church, I did not have a single Adventist friend growing up because I grew up in a small town. All the kids went to academy, and I didn't go to academy. So I just didn't quite fit in, I guess. When I went to Loma Linda, I felt like I was a heathen in Jerusalem, okay? That's how I felt. So I started praying, God, where do you want me to go to church? Praise God, he answers prayer. Amen? I was like, Lord, I want to go to a place where I can hear the message preached. And two, someone's going to invite me to potluck. Those two things have to happen so that I know that you want me to be here. So I went to several young adult worships, and I was very scared at some of them. Why? Well, I was in the world, so when I saw different services, I was like, wow, this feels like I'm in the world. Like, this is the world. This is what the world does. They have strobe lights, smoke machines. I've been there. I know what it is. This cannot be where God is. So I stopped going to some of these other ones, and then God brought me to a group called Advent Hope. And that day, Randy Skeet was the preacher. I don't know if you guys know him as a preacher, but he's a really good preacher. And I was so convicted. And then I was on my way leaving when somebody, I was like, well, Lord, you only answered half my prayer. On my way out, this girl stops me. She says, hey, are you new? Would you like to join us for potluck? And I was like, thank you, Jesus. You have answered 100% of my prayer requests. And so I became good friends with Ellen. And she was the person that taught me the sanctuary message. And when she taught it to me for the first time, I was so blown away. I was like, I cannot believe I grew up in this church and did not know this message. Brothers and sisters, if you have not studied thoroughly this message, make no doubts. You are a Seventh-day Adventist for a reason. As soon as I heard this message and I studied it, I went home for Christmas during Christmas break, and I sat my whole family down, all 8 of us, or 10 of us, and I said, look, we need to study this because this is why we are Adventists, okay? During that time, I was doing intensive Bible study. I was giving Bible studies. I had never given a Bible study before. I had never studied the Bible in order to give a Bible study on it. So that was totally, like, there was a first for everything for me. If you look in the picture, Jessica, the other Jessica, she's in there. That's how I know her. And this is the Advent Hope group that I became friends with. And graduated from Loma Linda University. And next thing happens, I find there's a dream job going ready for me in Washington, D.C. But then my heart is, you know, of course, it's still in Washington, D.C., okay? But with this, I have a conflict because I get a different job offer in Fresno. So I'm like, Lord, what do I do? My temptation is I want to go into Washington, D.C., but a better offer comes to Fresno, and a conviction to reach my own people comes upon me through a dream. So in my dream, during this job decision, I have this dream, and in the dream, I'm like this evangelist, okay? I'm preaching the three angels' message in this dream. And in the crowd, there's people of all nations, kindred, tongue, and but then one reality sets in this dream. There's no one that speaks Hmong. So I wake up from that dream completely devastated. I knew that they were not getting the true message of the gospel because we don't have a good Bible that is accurately translated, And we don't have any spirit of prophecy in our language. If someone that was Hmong wanted to know what the truth was, it would be very hard for them to find it without an actual missionary to be there to teach them. So I woke up from this dream devastated. Around that time, by the way, I chose Fresno because I felt God was calling me to reach my own people. So I decided not to go to DC, which was a big sacrifice, but I understand it now. During that time when I went, within the first month moving to Fresno, I get introduced to a ministry called GLOW. And I read the track that's called Steps to Health. And because I studied health, after reading it, I was like, wow, this needs to be in Hmong. This is amazing. 2 months after I arrive to Fresno, I decide, God puts on me that we need to translate GLOW tracks into Hmong. We don't have any literature. We have to have something. And so the first three tracks that are translated are these three that you see on the screen. And 3 months after I arrive in Fresno, my family and I, we start handing out these GLOW tracks. And for our people, every December, over 100,000 come to Fresno. 100,000 from all over the world. Hmong people from Laos, Thailand, Vietnam, China, all over Europe. We're refugees, so we're everywhere. There's Hmong people in Australia, Brazil, French Guiana, France, Germany. There's Hmong people everywhere. And so they all come to Fresno, California, where God brought me. And here we are handing out GLOW tracks. This is my church members going out there, handing it out, talking to people. And so I speed up. That was for 3 years. Every festival, we would just, by faith, hand it out. Well, April of 2014, there's a lady that comes to our church. And, you know, my church is pretty small, too. So what happens is that I notice her, and I'm like, ooh, she's reading a GLOW tract. And then I start talking to her. We walk out. In our lobby area, we have this GLOW tract rack, okay? And she looks at it, and she's like, huh, are you guys the church that has been passing out these little papers? And I said, yes. She points to this one. She's like, have you been passing this one out? And I said, yeah, we have been. She was like, you know, I go to church on Sunday, and I know that I've been receiving these GLOW tracks every year for 3 years, but I wasn't ready for them the first 2 years. This past year, I was asking God, what is the true day of worship? Somebody came into my little store. She's a vendor at the festival. And they gave me the Sabbath GLOW tract. She was asking God, what's the true day of worship? And somebody in my church handed her the Sabbath tract. That's a God thing, okay? She comes to our church. So that was December 2016 when she got the Sabbath tract. She came to the church, our church, in April. She's actually from Minnesota. So the reason why she was in Fresno is because she was visiting her family. She's got family in Fresno. But she wanted to keep the Sabbath, and she came to our church. So she's from Minnesota. She has friends who were recently baptized as Adventists, but she did not believe what they were believing. So she had questions. Well, she got the Sabbath tract. She read it. She studied it. Because if you look at the tract, it's a Bible study. It talks about many, many aspects of the Bible. And it has a lot of Bible references. She studies from the tract. And she comes to the conclusion, what more evidence do I need? The Sabbath is on Saturday. Mrs. White tells us, if there is one work more important than another, it is that of getting our publications before the public, thus leading them to search the scriptures. You know, we call the Bible the bread of life. I like to call glow tracks crumbs. They're just little snippets of the Bible. And for those who are hungry for truth, they're going to search their own Bible after reading the tracks. Amen? So she asked herself, what more evidence did I need? So after December, she goes back to Minnesota and she starts keeping the Sabbath. But she tells me, pray for me and my family. They are studying the Bible to be baptized. So she starts keeping the Sabbath in January, and then she starts doing Bible studies. By April, she's still doing the studies. And one thing I need to mention is that she is a business owner in the Hmong village of Minnesota. So Hmong village is kind of like Chinatown, where all the vendors speak Chinese. Well, there's a Hmong village where all the vendors are Hmong, and she's one of them. So she has to close on the Sabbath, but I'll continue sharing what her testimony is. So in May, she gets baptized. Her husband gets baptized. Her sister gets baptized, and her sister-in-law gets baptized. All four of them become Adventists because of a glow tract. God reveals this to me, and I'm like, whoa, this work is beyond what I had ever imagined. I just wanted the Steps to Health tract translated, and yet God has such a bigger plan than what we think. As soon as she's baptized, she calls me. He's like, Tara, do you have glow tracks? I want to put it in my business in Hmong Village. I was like, yeah. So I sent her a box of glow tracks so that she could put it at her business. In July last year, God convicts my heart, I need to go to Minnesota. So in July 2017, I fly from California to Minnesota. If you don't know where Minnesota is, hopefully now you know where it is. I go and visit her, and there's her little glow rack, and she's got glow tracks, and she sells purses and all sorts of things. And she closes on the Sabbath, and she says, when other businesses ask me why I close on the Sabbath, I get a chance to witness to them. What in the world? Now she's being a witness for everybody who comes to that area, which it's busy 24/7 with Hmong people, and the business vendors who she's made friends with for years and years and years, they get to hear about the message. Now, isn't that amazing how God works? You know, sometimes you do something very little, but God just has a whole different idea of what's going to happen. So I'm out there in July, and guess what? We have another festival. And how many people come to this? 60,000 Hmong people. Here's an example of how much come out. And this is a video. So you can see, what do we do when we go to these festivals? Can you press play? These are my nieces at the festival. Everybody is getting a glow tract in their hand. Next slide. And guess who's out there with us? The lady who was recently baptized. She's out there glowing with us too. And guess who else came out? Over 20 colporters also came to help us pass glow tracts. God is so good. You know, sometimes I think, how can I do the work? God, I need help. And he always sends more helpers. I'm going to skip this. Okay, Mrs. White tells us to proclaim the third angel's message to the hundreds of thousands of foreigners in America. Raise your hand if your parents came here from a different country. Okay, raise your hand if your parents were born from a different country, or maybe you were born in a different country. Raise your hand if you speak another language besides English. Wow. Okay, most of you guys. Mrs. White is talking to us in this, okay? And I kind of changed it a little bit. Many of these foreigners Vietnamese are here in the providence of God. Okay? God brought the Vietnamese to America, okay? That they may have an opportunity to hear the truth for this time. Maybe it would be impossible to share the gospel to the entire country of Vietnam. God has this war, the Vietnam War. He brings all these foreigners to America. There's 2 million Vietnamese in the U.S., according to what the pastor said earlier. Among these Vietnamese men and women are some who, upon accepting the truth, could soon be fitted to labor for their own people in this country and in other countries. Basically, what Mrs. White is telling us is that God, in his providence, allowed foreigners, Vietnamese, to come to America to hear the truth. And guess what? They're going to go back and labor for their own people. I think I have a friend who's thinking about this. Jessica. Many Vietnamese might return to the places from which they came in the hope of winning their friends to the truth. When we share our message with the Vietnamese community, they're going to want to win their friends. They, the Vietnamese, could search out their kinfolk and neighbors and communicate to them a knowledge of the third angel's message. I may not be able to speak Vietnamese, but if I can help a Vietnamese come to know the truth, guess what? They're going to search out their own friends and family. And that's how the gospel will be spread. Mrs. White is telling us to preach the three angels' message and minister to foreigners. Guess what? Most of us are foreigners or have family who are foreigners. God placed foreigners in America for a sole purpose. There is no other reason for us to be in America than to win souls, especially souls that speak Vietnamese, or in my case, Hmong. Upon accepting the truth, they will seek out their own people and share the three angels' message in their native language. I am living this exact quote. When I was reading the book of evangelism, I was like, whoa, Mrs. White is writing for someone like me to read this. Matthew 24:14, we all know this Bible verse. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." How much effort are we making to make sure every single Vietnamese in America knows our message? I'm at fault too, but I believe that God has called me and called you to share this message for those that live in America. What else happened? Well, this couple, they got the glow tract. They came into the church. They got Bible studies. They got baptized. I got a call from a pastor in Vietnam. He's Hmong. He got the glow tract. And he's been listening to the media. We have a media ministry in Minnesota. They preach the three angels message on YouTube. But he also received a glow tract and he called my number. So I got a missed call May 14, 2017. And on the photo, on the ID, it said Vietnam. And I'm like, who is calling me from Vietnam? I called him back. And this is what we talked about. Can you press the speaker? You can hear his voice. As I'm talking to him, he's telling me, I've been a Baptist pastor for 10 years. I've been going to church on Sunday. I had no idea there was a Sabbath truth. So he's the pastor of four churches, and after hearing the message on YouTube and reading the glow tract, He said, all four churches and I decided we would become Sabbath keepers. Praise the Lord. This message needs to go out. We're just not sharing. We need to be aggressive in sharing. You know, people who are in marketing, which is what I did before I came into ministry, people in marketing, they tell you what they want you to buy. You know, Nike says, just do it. They have marketing. Everybody markets, but it's time we, as Adventists, start marketing Christ. We need to share this message with the world. So I go back to my dream and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you really revealed this dream to me so that I can help reach my own people. And then I come back to this young man. He's 25. He obeys the voice of God and he comes to the villages of Hmong people in Laos. Every single one of us, every day, we can make a decision to obey God's voice. There's a consequence for not obeying, but there's an even greater reward for obeying. He didn't know that what he would do would have an impact on my life. He was there in the 50s, and here I am, 2018. Because of his efforts, I am in the church. Don't underestimate obedience to God. There is a blessing. And I met him and his wife when I moved to Fresno. So God knew that I needed to be in Fresno, not only to reach my community, but for my personal salvation. To see the whole picture of what happens when one person obeys God. You know, he started a church in the 1950s, and now this is my church today. There in Fresno. I want us to repeat this. Before the war, a message is given. Now, I know I've been talking about myself a lot, but brothers and sisters, there is a real war going on right now. And it might not be what you think it is. There's a spiritual battle going on right now. But like this quote says, before the war, a message is given. Guess who is called to give this message for this war? Each and every one of us. There is a place for each of us. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. Brothers and sisters, are you distracted? Are you distracted by Facebook, YouTube, Netflix? Are you distracted by Korean dramas or video games or, I don't know, music, fashion? What is absorbing your attention today? I want to appeal that you ask God if there's something in your life that's taking your time and money, that you ask God to help you overcome it. And he will answer that prayer in faith. In the working for perishing souls, you have the companionship of angels. Did you know that when we go out there and do outreach and give out glow tracks, thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s angels are waiting to cooperate with the members of our churches in communicating the light that God has generously given, that a people may be prepared for the coming of Christ. We need to tell people, yes, this world is ending, but God is love, and we have a message. There's this war that's going on, but we have a message of good things. In the beginning, I was saying, if we stayed, I know we wouldn't survive. In the same sense, my parents, if they did not heed God's voice, they would have stayed in Laos. They would not have survived. But because they obeyed God's voice, they left. And they survived. This includes going out to outreach after potluck. If you stay, you will not survive, okay? You must go with us. God has been looking down through the ages. And, you know, he could have brought every one of us during a different time in world history. But it's 2018, and, you know, God knows all things. And you have been in God's mind from the beginning of time. Joseph, David, Simon, Jessica, God has been waiting. He's just been waiting for the perfect moment to get your attention. And he doesn't have that much time. For some of us, that's 20 years, 30 years, 70 years. He has a small pocket of time to reach us. And he's called us for a special purpose because there's a special calling each and every one of you guys are called to do. And, you know, I think about that and I was like, Lord, there's no reason why I should be alive. You know, my mom, my mom told me that many times she was told that she couldn't have children. Well, she had 8 of us. There's a lot of things that went against her. She was escaping war. She was sick. There was no doctors. But I believe that God is calling each and every one of us today for a very special purpose. And if you haven't discovered what that purpose is, I ask that you start praying that God would reveal to you. You know, many of you guys are so young. And had I known this at a young age, I think my life would be a little different. But praise God, I'm still young. And I can still fulfill what God has called me to do. Will you let God use you? My first appeal is that you pray. You start praying about what is absorbing your attention and to help you for God to help you overcome it. Sometimes maybe what's absorbing our attention is a good thing. Working, having a job, that is a good thing. But if it's more important than your relationship with God, that's when you need to start asking yourself, God, how can I have a better relationship with you? And then secondly, if you're interested to learn more about how, or if you want to ask me to pray for you personally, you can text me your email address. And I could also share with you testimonies from glowing people who call in and say, hey, I found this on the ground and I want to study the Bible. We've gotten calls from people who have found even just the back page of this. And they're like, oh, Bible studies. Oh, I want to sign up. Can you imagine if we pass these out, more people would be interested? If we only passed it out. There's a wedding coming. Jesus is coming back. But not a lot of people know about it. Would you go to a wedding? Has anybody been to a wedding? Yes. Would you go to a wedding if you didn't have an invite? No. That's kind of weird, right? Why would anybody want to go to heaven if they've never been invited? That's why we give out glow tracks. We are there to invite people. I don't know about you, but everybody's invited, but they don't know that. We have to go share. So, and my third appeal is to go. Go with us this afternoon. Remember, if you stay, you will not survive. Therefore, you need to go with us. Oops, that's not it. So that's my appeal to you guys today. Thank you for giving me a chance to share what's on my heart. And I hope to see you guys at 3 o'clock.